so much from City Council yesterday, and it's more expensive. It's going to be more expensive to get a parking ticket as of August 1st. You're going to be able to keep on drinking in parks within reason and specific parks in specific councilors' wards and all that stuff. And that's well, the vacant home tax will carry on in a new, less complicated, less aggravating form. All that's covered with Josh Matlow, Toronto City Councilor for Toronto St. Paul. It's nice to have you on.
Good to be here, Greg.
So much work being done. Let's talk first about the public parks and the drinking. I feel like you and I, maybe our first conversation about this might have been during the heart of the pandemic, the really tough times in 2020. I bet it was on your radar prior to that, but that really during lockdowns drove it home for you that we've got a lot of inequality in society, and even just the ability to socialize is compromised by where people live.
And that's what it comes down to. Like the real reason we had this debate is during the pandemic, there were people who, you know, have backyards and who are able to, you know, visit with friends and family and have a drink, have a barbecue, have a beer, enjoy themselves. But for so many Torontonians who don't have backyards, many who don't have balconies, even no outdoor access, parks were where they could come together and see friends safely. But, you know, aside from the pandemic, the inequity remains. Some people have backyards, some people don't. And I just fundamentally disagree that City Hall should be dictating to adults, whether or not they can, have a drink, or at a park with a friend, have a bottle of wine with a picnic, like they do in cities all around the world. And what I reminded my colleagues of yesterday is that in Paris, in Rome, around the world, the zombie apocalypse has not broken out. Like it's working. People are being responsible. And the last thing I should mention, the things that people fear and are upset about, drunken disorderly behavior, all that kind of stuff, it's already happening. That's the existing problems that we need to actually address and enforce better. It doesn't happen just because you legalize responsible adults to be able to do so.
No, I mean, without judgment, without casting judgment, are you still a little surprised that some of the same concerns are there when data, I know you're a big fan of data numbers, if it doesn't bear itself out in statistics or data, and we've given it this amount of trial, then it probably isn't going to manifest itself, is it?
I agree. I mean, it might be a novel approach, but I do like facts and data to support decisions. It'll never fly, but I really do like that approach. But I mean, there are counselors who are worried about people in our neighborhoods who will push back on legalizing this because they're worried about bad behavior, even though there are already laws in the books to deal with that. But you know, there were even some counselors who wanted to restrict their entire ward, keep it a dry ward. my message again to them and to the public is, when it comes to like health and safety issues, I think it's good for government to regulate. When it comes to bad behavior, it needs to be enforced. But for the rest of us who really are not, just because of a bylaw, are not going to go on a drunken binge and will just have a beer with a friend on a hot summer day, I think, the City Hall should just stay out of the way and allow responsible adults to have some fun, but do it well and do it responsibly.
Josh Matlow is our guest on Toronto Today on 640 Toronto. So I see this pitch this morning from the Ontario Transportation Minister that would speed up Gardner Constructions. And that's Gardner Construction in this 700-meter stretch between Strawn and Dufferin. And as you know, this is potentially a three-year project, and it's already it's just breaking the souls of a lot of commuters that have to take this every day. It's one thing to say, I'll take transit instead. But if they must be in their car A to B 5 days a week, it's crushing them. So when the transportation minister lays that out there, are you hoping the city is receptive to it? What's your initial reaction to that concept?
God bless him. And this is coming from a guy who's not a big fan of the Ford government. But honestly, 3 years is such a long time. To have a portion of the Gardner shut down for necessary work, but I still am challenging the concept that it has to be that long, and the impact is being felt throughout the city. I mean, I live in Midtown, and I can tell you, Mount Pleasant, Yonge Street, it's different now. And
you've just noticed that in the last few weeks.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's getting worse. Because when lanes are shut down on the Gardner, it has an impact on the rest of the city. So the sooner that work can get done, the better. And if the Minister of Transportation is willing to assist, we need to welcome that and we need to work with them.
I don't think this never came in front of City Council for a yes, no vote, did it? 24-hour construction on the Gardner. But why wouldn't that come up? Why wouldn't City Council push for that?
I think it's reasonable. What I'm asking our transportation staff to do is look at every possible way to expedite that work, just as I've asked them to expedite the work on the St. Clair streetcar work that's being done now that's created a real mess on St. Clair. So in other words, the sooner this work can get done, the better it is for commuters throughout our city. And I welcome the Minister of Transportation's support and any intervention that they can provide.
And I feel like this gets more FaceTime potentially with the transportation minister. And then we all can keep asking him about the Eglinton LRT, Josh. And we can try and get an update every week instead of an update every 8 months with Phil Verster. Those aren't very sufficient. I think most Torontonians would agree.
No, I mean, the next press conference that Phil Verster for Metrolinx gives should actually be telling us when it's going to open rather than a press conference to announce that he has no announcement. So we are all waiting very anxiously to get that line up and running.
I think this is the one thing I'd say. I think people have taken tremendous responsibility about the vacant home tax rollout. I think everybody's looked and said, wow, that was a moment in time. Even me, I'd mentioned the dates on the air. And I don't think we quite foresaw all that was going to be complicated and all that would be complained. If we look back, let's all collectively say, and the mayor did say it too, what would some of the warning signs have been that this wasn't going to go quite as swimmingly as planned, Josh?
Well, I mean, it was a complete hot mess. The process was awful. The response from the city for those who hadn't made their declaration was punitive and unfair. Everything about how the city rolled it out did not work. And, the warning signs could have been way back. I mean, John Tory remembers this during the reverse billing mess up with Rogers, where, what a pushback that was. We should have known that this system would have problems. It was bad last year, but it wasn't this bad. And what I'm asking for is for the city to look at something like just looking at utility bills that already indicate whether or not a house is being used by somebody or if it's sitting there as just an investment property collecting dust. And, there really should be, and there can be ways to just easily indicate whether or not it's being used as a home and then get on with things rather than put people through this this confusion, but also this real fear. I mean, I know so many people who wrote to me and said, I just got sent a letter from the city telling me that I owe like $10,000 in taxes over this thing, and I don't even own a second home. So that's got to be fixed. And I know that the mayor and council have heard the public outrage, understandably, and want to make this better.
Yeah, I think the utility bills kind of nails it because, I mean, Josh, we take those to proof. That's proof of life when we go vote or when we need something to do at the bank, and everybody gets them. And if you don't get them printed out, you easily are able to. So that's the way to go about it. Is it just proves your existence and proves someone's in the damn house?
Yeah. And there was a concern raised that there might be privacy issues. So I've asked city staff to look into that. But there's always, if we want to be creative, there are ways around that too. I mean, if everyone just on a one-time basis consents to use their utility bills, they're good for the rest of their lives. Like, there are ways to do things if we choose to do them well.
It also is one of those scenarios. You believe in the tax. You heard the argument against it, that we just may not, the juice may not be worth the squeeze. We aren't Vancouver. There's different demographic principles regarding speculators and investment. But you still believe it can be a proper fundraiser for the city in a desperate time to raise funds.
I'm convinced that it's a small tool in a really large toolbox that we need to address the housing crisis. We need housing supply. That is a reality. It is so unaffordable to live in this city. That tax isn't going to solve all of the world's problems, but it's one of many, many ways that we can ensure that homes are not just sitting there as investment properties, just accruing value, but they're actually being used as a place for people to live in who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to live in the city. So it's one tool, but it should be done well, and it should be done fairly, and it should treat people, with respect.
Last thing, and it's from a listener texting me, when is the soonest city council could push for 24-hour construction on the Gardner? When's the first time that can be debated and voted on?
Truly, as soon as council meets with staff recommendations with a plan to do it and do it well. This is something that I think really does need to be considered. But more than that, I'm still struggling, and I've been asking these questions, as to why it would take 3 years to do. So I really think that we need to have a focused debate, discussion, and resolution on how to expedite the project. No reasonable person would disagree that work needs to be done in the Gardner. We want it to be safe. We don't want it to crumble. But we wanted to get done as quickly as possible. And that's something that I know I'm not alone at council, where we are pushing for this to get done quickly. We want to address congestion in the city. And by the way, I just want to remind you that something we did at council that I'm very happy with is raising fines on people who block intersections and block lanes throughout our city when everybody else is trying to get around. And I moved a motion as well to consider raising fines even further on people who, think that their Starbucks or their dry cleaning is more important than all the hundreds of people who are waiting in traffic behind them. So there's a lot of work to be done. Congestion's a serious problem. And construction, the work on the Gardner, people being selfish and blocking traffic, all this needs to be dealt with well.
It all works in together. Well, let's stay on this. Josh, thanks so much for the time today.
Anytime. Thanks, Greg.
There's Josh Matlow joining us on Toronto Today. That's really interesting stuff. There's support right there for 24/7, 24 hours a day construction on the Gardner Expressway. And it's anybody's guess as to why it didn't get brought up in the first place. But someone has to put that on council. Someone has to put people's names to speak truth to power and make people vote on it. And the votes are public, so we know who would support it and who didn't. Makes it easier to vote people in the next time that have our best interests at heart, doesn't it?